And welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, and we have a special episode in store for all of y'all today. Obviously, we are a day earlier than we normally release during the week, and that's for good reason, because this conversation couldn't wait until Thursday, honestly. Earlier this week, I had the chance to sit down with a number of pro wrestlers from the LGBTQ community from Oklahoma to discuss their fight against the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission, as well as the situation that kind of blew up nationally last week around AEW receiving a warning from the OSAC related to Nyla Rose wrestling on an event in Oklahoma City last December. So we had the chance to sit down with Logan Knight, Connor Vaughn, Giganto, and the fabulous Frankie Lee. I guess collectively now known after this episode, as you'll hear, as the Oklahomos, unofficial title, I guess. But we got to sit down with all four of them. Fortunately, we also were scheduled to talk with Malik Mayfield and Badger James, but they couldn't make it to the call. But we just want to give them a shout out here in the intro as well. They are part of this fight too. They're part of this group as well, and they are doing what they can to prep for a hearing on July 10th down there to try and get the state's intergender wrestling statute, or the one at least the statute that bans intergender pro wrestling, which, you know, the language in that is also very trans exclusionary, intersex exclusionary, chromosomal disorder exclusionary to a great degree. But they're getting ready to take that fight to the commission, and we had the chance to sit down with the four of them and kind of discuss their experiences around, like, involving the commission. We talked a lot about, you know, Connor's fight with them, you know, whenever he, you know, applied to be a pro wrestler and, you know, was basically going to be forced to wrestle only women, you know, as a trans man, and how that, you know, affected his relationship with pro wrestling for a while. And also, we talk a lot about, you know, some of the other issues with the commission involving, like, trying to regulate events held on sovereign land of First Nations in Oklahoma as well. So we touch on a lot of different stuff, and I feel like it's just right to jump right into this conversation with all of y'all here. So, yeah, enjoy. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to LGBT in the Ring. We're just going to take a quick break here to let you know ways that you can support the show. And say thank you to some very rad people that help make this show as amazing as it is. First off, if you would like to support the show, we are on Patreon now. Patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Multiple tiers there for everyone that feels so moved to support this show. We've got numerous patron benefits over there, including bonus shows that are going to be coming out monthly, roundtable of those sort of things. So definitely go over and check us out. Again, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Every single dollar that is pledge there to support the show is very, very humbling, and we thank you. We also have a merch store over on Brain Buster Tees. Go to brainbustertees.com and search LGBT in the Ring. Get t-shirts, tank tops, all kinds of good stuff. And, you know, always looking at some new things as well. But definitely check us out on Brain Buster Tees there as well. You can follow the show on social media as well. We're everywhere that we have accounts. We're at LGBT Ring Pod. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, co-host, Mastodon, whatever. We're there. So follow the show there. You can follow me at WonderboyOTM on Twitter and Instagram as well. We also want to give a huge thank you to Sarah and the Safe Word for the show's theme.
Formula 666 from the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, or you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp. Another great way to support the show is over at independentwrestling.tv. Check out IWTV for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our code LGBT Ring Pod or visit the URL tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. And whenever you, as long as you use that code to open your account and keep that active, we get a kickback from IWTV. So your subscription to watch all the great wrestling that we talk about on this show goes to support the show as well. Thumbs up there. Of course, if you want to read more of my pro wrestling writing, you can check out outsports.com. And if you are into video games, I also co-host a video game news Twitch stream every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's called the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with two dear friends and Twitch streamers, Slacker Kite and Lady Merowin. Just run through the week's gaming news, or we throw on a game and play and just have fun and be dumb. It's great. But you can check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at twitch.tv/deadsunentertainment, sun like the star. With that said, let's get back to the show. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring, and I'm very pleased to have multiple guests this week for this sort of, I guess, special edition. This will be coming out. It's not going to come out on our normal day, but this is a special edition of the show. We have a group of pro wrestlers that are very familiar and have been parts of the Oklahoma independent pro wrestling scene for varying amounts of years at this point, and obviously, with the news that broke last week involving AEW and Nyla Rose and the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission, that also kind of begat this larger conversation about Oklahoma pro wrestling kind of wanting to push back against these kind of, I'm not even going to say kind of, pretty archaic and discriminatory rules that are on the books there as well, you know. And so I thought it would be great to have a number of people representing the Oklahoma pro wrestling scene come on here and just talk about the situation and what they're doing to kind of fight back against this here. So joining us today, we have, first off, the returning guest here, the Spotlight, Logan Knight. How are you doing today, Logan?
I'm doing pretty great. I guess we just lost Frankie, but he's with us in spirit, in our heart.
We're getting him back in. We're getting him back in the call here.
Frankie. Like sort of like a Yoda or Obi-Wan ghost in the background of the Zoom.
My bad. Oh, shit.
No worries. Also joining us today, we have Giganto. How are you doing today, Giganto?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just gobbled down some Pepsi. I'm ready to talk about this situation.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, crap. Did I miss my intro?
Oh, no, you didn't, because I'm coming to you right now. Okay. Frankie Lee is here with us today as well. How are you doing today, Frankie?
The fabulous Frankie Lee. I make the one most wonderful impressions. Y'all probably just saw me drop right out of the interview as we recorded. I'm doing great.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear. And rounding out our roundtable today, we have Connor Vaughn. How are you doing today, Connor?
I'm doing really good. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Awesome. I'm glad to have all of y'all here, honestly, because this is a issue that, you know, it kind of popped off into like the national conversation last week after the portion of the minutes from the January 3rd hearing was released involving the conversation between all of the various commissioners talking about Nyla Rose's participation at the December 23rd show last year that was held in Oklahoma City. But obviously this plays into a larger thing that I know has been a part of y'all's lives, being pro wrestlers that work in some cases live in Oklahoma as well. For a while now, because Logan brought this up when we had him on the show last month, you know, talking about the commission and some of the issues that have prevented, you know, trans pro wrestlers from wrestling on cards, as well as just the incredible limitations that the particular ruling that the commission has on intergender wrestling. as well, which I will say I'm really, really frustrating and baffling reading the actual like language of that rule and seeing how it equates sex and gender, considering how many national health bodies are very easily able to separate how those two things are defined and tackled in various things. So I guess let's just start off with last week, and then we can delve in a little bit more into the past with you know, issues that we've seen, and a little bit into the future fight that's going to be continuing for y'all here. I just want to kind of go around the table here real quick, just get y'all's reactions to the news whenever it broke last week. You know, I guess we can start with Frankie on that.
Okay. I would like to just try and use my own identity as a Black man specifically, and how I personally react to this kind of stuff. When I see, you know, news of, oh, Oklahoma's freaking out because a trans wrestler wants to wrestle, you know, it just reminds me of just kind of those, just the same hysteria people would have over, you know, like a Black guy being part of certain things, you know. Whenever I see it all, it's just this exclusionary mindset. It just reeks of the past, you know, of all these old gay rights of the 50s. So, and then, not, you know, of course, of civil rights and stuff like that. It's just this constant loop of people being excluded simply on face of what you're seeing of them. And I find it as ridiculous as you would any of the other stuff, really. Yeah, I have plenty to say about it, but most especially, I just find it absolutely ridiculous and archaic that we're still having these kinds of conversations, you know?
No, I can understand that. I think that's been a lot of the feelings around this that has popped up as well. You know, even the people that maybe aren't as well versed in like the vernacular pro wrestling or really have been like really engaged with pro wrestling and how they've interacted with this too. It just, you know, it's one of those things where like, I know for one thing that I saw kind of that in my conversations with people around this was, you know, it like, why would you regulate this in like a predetermined, like consensual, like theatrical sort of like depiction of a fight?
Yeah,
you know,
that's a thought I also had. Like, you know, as legitimate as I treat wrestling as a sport, it is still luckily a performance art. It's still fortunate in the fact that because it's art, you can express yourself any way you can with your identity, you know, with your sexual orientation, with your presentation, your cultural background. There's so many ways you can express yourself in pro wrestling. And I think the fact that it's just so versatile means that it should be allowed for anyone to do whatever, you know, like for the, like for example, men versus women, trans men versus cis men, you know, trans women versus cis women. It should just be an open ground for that. That's just what pro wrestling is. That's what I love about it, you know, the expressive artistic identity of it all, you know? And the fact that we're still, like, the fact that our real world is still bleeding into this pro wrestling world, my fantasy land that I escape to enjoy myself, I get a little annoyed because, like I said, it just reeks of the same, you know, segregative, you know, practices of, like, the 50s and 60s during the Jim Crow era, et cetera, for Black men, Black women. And the intersectionality of, you know, LGBT issues, women's issues, and stuff like that. You know, if I'm going to stand on my line with where I, you know, I'm a proud Black man and I absolutely understand my history. If I'm looking at all that stuff and I don't want any of that coming back to me, I should want the same for my trans brothers and sisters, for all the women who can't get work, you know, because they can't wrestle men. They're just not allowed to for some reason with the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission. And then they're using that same language to tell the trans people they're not allowed to wrestle either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it's asinine, it's archaic. If I can speak up and bring some new perspective to at least help come to some sort of conclusion, just for you know, men and women, especially trans men and women, to be able to do what they want in the ring and be themselves, then I'll talk my mouth off on that subject, you know.
Giganto, I want to go to you because, like, obviously, before we hit record here, you were joking about kind of being like the vet of the group in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to get your reaction to whenever all this kind of went down last week.
I think it's pathetic. The reason is because this is like something that happened back, I think, in January, back in OKC. And now they're making big issue out of it. Now they're, you know, like trying to get these events in the past and just, you know, make an uproar about it. And plus, like, you know, and like Frankie Lee say, I would not want any of this shit to happen just as much as other things that have happened to other people in the fucking past. You know, but excuse my language.
Oh, you can curse all you want. You're fine.
Oh, fuck yeah. but it's, you know, it's really, really stupid. And like, I'm going to say this. This is coming from a close family member who is going to be my future sister-in-law. And she said, as a former conservative, this ain't a intergender issue. This ain't a man or woman issue. This is them being transphobic as hell.
Nah, I couldn't agree with that sentiment more. I couldn't agree with it more, yeah. Honestly.
And, you know, and we're talking about, you know, professional wrestling. We're talking about, you know, entertainment that we like to do, bust our asses and put on. And if people like Connor can't do that, then to me, that's bullshit.
Oh, I completely agree. Like anything that's exclusionary like that. Like it has no place in, honestly. Uh-huh. Like, you know, we've talked a bit about how, like, you know, wrestling and entertainment and separation from sport in a way, but like, it doesn't belong in sports either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's just across the board there.
It's just across the board. Yeah. 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 And I want to say this, I'll end it with this. If I want to take an elbow drop from the ladder because of Connor and me on the table, then goddamn, let me, okay? Let me. Okay? All right? Okay? Let him elbow drop me through a table. Okay,
please.
Oklahoma Commission. All right, please.
Both Giganto and Connor want this. Oklahoma State Athletic Commission, make it happen.
Get them up there, guys.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Well, I think that's a perfect place to kind of turn to you, Connor, and get your reaction as well, because I know this especially hits home considering like your situation as well.
It is crazy to see this circulating, especially my side of the conversation again, because I didn't have social media whenever all this was going on. I was on a hiatus, and Logan came to me about the fact that my name was being thrown around in conversations again because of Nyla Rose wrestling, but yet I have been denied that ability to do so in Oklahoma. And I have so many mixed feelings about it. And I'm glad that this is becoming a conversation again, because this is something that I neglected to really go in depth about. And it's something that I really regret. So I'm glad that it's finally being talked about again, but it is so disgusting how much that these people are policing our bodies, and the language that they're using for it as well is just like, felt as if I was being talked down to. And the speech of like chromosomes and stuff, it was all nauseating. Like I felt exactly as I did the first time whenever I first read the email that I got from them, just I wanted them just to say flat out that transgender people aren't welcome here, but they just danced around it and made it really disgusting. So I hate that this is something that is still happening, that it's still an issue, and progress needs to be made. Like, it's 2024. The fact that this is happening to be even discussed is, I don't even know how to explain how I truly feel about it.
I mean, I can only imagine like what this kind of like brought back up in your own memory banks, just because of, you know, just for clarification, if anybody listening doesn't know, you know, Connor, you were a wrestling trainee. You applied you applied via the OSAC wrestler application, which I had a thorough look at in preparation for writing my article last week. Mm-hmm. But you were turned down because you were a trans man.
So one misconception is that I was fully denied. I got my license. I have it. However, they were in the email that they sent me, it said, we will give you it, but please be very clear on the rules that we have, which essentially said, we better not catch you wrestling a cis man. So I had it. I just, what good is it for? Yeah. What can I can't use this. I don't want to be viewed as a woman in a woman's match. So I was just like, I have this for nothing. I paid this money for nothing. Like, all of this was for nothing. And it's so frustrating.
What has it been like for you to kind of see the support that not only is not like gotten from the wrestling community, but to see like Tony Khan come out specifically in support of not just Nyla, but like the transgender community as a whole?
I actually haven't seen that. That is so lovely to hear. That actually makes me really happy. The support that I've seen on social media and even from people messaging me, like Giganto and Frankie and Logan, and so many people have reached out in support of what's been going on and has like inspired me to like use my voice again. Cause whenever all this happened, I didn't want to really talk about it. I was too scared to. It was a really frightening thing that was happening. I was getting harassed by a promoter in Arkansas. There was so much going on that I just shoved it under the rug. I didn't want to talk about it, but now that it's a conversation again, and now that I know that I have support, it feels so much different now that I do want to talk about it. I want to go in depth about it. And I just appreciate all the support that I've seen, and it's been so affirming.
No, love you, buddy.
Oh,
yeah, I guess mentioned how much media attention it was getting. So I know you get anxious about stuff like that, but pretty much any like big wrestling news sources picked up the story, and you know, Nyla's DM'd me over it saying thank you and stuff like that. I guess I just didn't want to scare you, but it's a pretty big story, Connor. Like yeah. I want you to, like, you are nationally supported right now. It's not just like Nyla. It's like it's the trans community everywhere. I know tons of trans wrestlers, and like, I can't tell you how fired up they are right now.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that like I really want to get out there about it more too, is I don't want the media to like scare me or anything anymore. So in any way that I'm able to help and spread the word, I definitely want to. It's something I don't want to be anxious about anymore. So it's been bringing a lot of people together. It's been making me reach out to people, and it's so good to see more support than I thought that there would be. I was so scared on how people would react to this type of news, but it's been overwhelmingly positive.
I'm glad to hear. And as a member of the media, I want to also like make this as like non-anxious or scary for you as well, and I'm sure not the only member of the media that wants to do that for you either. So yes, Logan, when we talked last month, you brought up issues with the commission kind of related to the debut of your new tag team, the Only Friends. Did you think we'd be here a month later talking about this again with like articles from not just wrestling media, but the Washington Post covering this?
Yeah. Man, it's like, honestly, I'm sorry I couldn't get back on the podcast on like much brighter terms, like debuting on brunch or something like that. But I guess this is a cause worth fighting for as well. But I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not surprised. Like, the math is mathing at the moment. This is all adding up and making a whole lot of fucking sense, because for the last 5 years, every time the licensing period comes through for having to get our license renewal for wrestling, I'm like, why? Like, why? What purpose do you serve? Why am I paying you money? You don't do anything for me. Like, I can't think of a singular service that the commission does for me. Everybody's tried to be like, oh, well, the blood work makes me feel safe. Blood work's only fucking as good as your test, dude. So like the next day they could get HEP and then spread it to you. So automatically you're just telling me you're stupid when you try to say that shit to me. Secondly, they just take money. That's literally all they're there for, is a middleman. They're Uncle Sam's little like tax goblins that come and slurp up all the entertainment money. I am fucking amazed that we've been allowing this for 20 years. Like, professional wrestling is all about making money, and every fucking backyarder and their aunt that's running a show here is like, oh, we're just going to keep paying the commission money because that doesn't make us real backyarders. Like, no, it does. It actually makes you, in fact, dumber than backyarders, because you're paying somebody money that's doing nothing for your entertainment industry, nothing for us, nothing. So at this point, I'm convinced that everybody that isn't supporting this cause is actually just lazy as fuck, or they're a little commission rat. And I don't care either way. They can go fuck themselves. I have had it. Like, I've spent maybe 5 years in wrestling, and maybe five, like, I've been in Oklahoma my entire life. So I kind of should have saw this shake down the way it did, you know, just knowing what I know about Oklahoma. But at the same time, I'm fucking from here, but at the end of the day, so I have to like try and make it better. Like, moving isn't going to solve anything for the people that I'm leaving at home or the next people to come up here. And everybody's advice to young kids coming into wrestling, I'm sure Caleb's heard it a million times. I'm sure Frankie's heard it a million times. I'm sure Connor's heard it a million times. Everybody says, get out of Oklahoma while you can. I kind of understand why now that this is happening, but at the same time, why the fuck are we going to leave that for everybody else? Because that's the only reason this stuff still exists, is because everybody was too scared to do something in the first place. So if we're going to continue to be complacent and or scared, nothing's going to fucking change.
What has it been like for you? Oh, sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what has it been like for you? Because obviously, like, online and like social media spaces and stuff like that, like, you've been very vocal, you know, in terms of like speaking to like the greater pro wrestling community outside of Oklahoma, as well as, you know, inside of Oklahoma here. Like, it seems like you have a lot of conviction in your voice when talking about this. Has that been part of the reason why that you've taken such like a forward facing kind of place in this conversation so far?
Yeah, I mean, I was never really into Twitter or X, and then I just started engaging more in the last couple of months. And I mean, honestly, I didn't start engaging on Twitter or X until I made that QWI list. I was like, I need to start making like a more bigger engagement on Twitter, because that's where all of our peers are and where a lot of bookers are, and like anybody that can help you in wrestling is pretty much on Twitter. Because I'm coming from a following where my following's huge over on like Facebook and other stuff like that, but that's not really, it's all the old people coming to the shows and all like the fans and stuff like that. And that's nice, but I wanted to like broaden my reach. And I guess I sort of have done that in a way. And, you know, with Oklahoma making headlines and stuff, I've been trying to make it absolutely fucking clear to everybody that this is by no means something that we get to vote on, something that we've wanted or something that we've lobbied for to have in Oklahoma. The bookers, the wrestlers, the fans alike, we don't want any of this stuff. Like, the fans don't get to see stories that could be carried out happen. They can't, you know, get their money's worth. We can't get bigger name indie talents to wrestle here because nobody wants to pay fucking $300 to get a license to wrestle in bum ass Oklahoma. No offense to Oklahoma. Like, obviously I'm sitting here touting Oklahoma can be great. Oklahoma can be a hub for independent wrestling. But right now, we're getting laughed at and mocked. And I mean, I get it, rightfully so. If I was from the, if I can't say any different, because if I was on the outside looking in, I'd be pointing and laughing my ass off. However, I'm not. I'm here in the trenches. I like, not to, you know, stroke the ego, but I just won Oklahoma Male Wrestler of the Year. So if I don't do my part in trying to make this place better, what am I actually like? What does that mean at the end of the day? Like, I know it was a fan vote for the time I did and the matches I had in 2023, but I carry it sort of as like a symbol of pride. It's like I gave something to the community of Oklahoma and they thought of me good enough to, you know, represent them for an entire year. And I want to continue to hold importance to that. I want to put my best foot forward and I want to give back to Oklahoma, because honestly, professional wrestling doesn't owe any of us shit at the end of the day. And we have to find the right things to fight for, and we have to fight for them really hard. And that's just like, that's anything else in life too. I think I really just dug my heels into this problem specifically because it's a problem we've been dealing with for years. It's not just me. It wasn't just my trainer before me. Drake Gallows, he's a trainer of two of the other people in this call right now. And he has had intergender matches out the wazoo. He's had death matches, which are also illegal in Oklahoma, out the wazoo. Why are we picking and choosing certain things to let go and let by and not enforcing the rules entirely or getting rid of the rules to begin with? If they want to take money, that's fine. I realize everything in the country has to be taxed to some certain degree, but this is an entertainment business. So if you're putting me against the same set of rules as a fucking sports event, you're already putting me in a position to lose. It should be considered theft at that point. You're taxing somebody that's already losing.
I can definitely understand those points. And there's, I think, similar points have been made about other athletic commissions throughout the country as well. I want to turn to like the past like few years as well, because you mentioned like this isn't a new thing. Obviously, this is something that has existed for a while in Oklahoma there. And you mentioned on Twitter that the scheduled hearing that y'all had in May got actually kind of canceled, and then we had the regular scheduled hearing in July that's going to be kind of like more of the viewpoint now for addressing this the next time the commission meets. And the reason why that got pushed was because suspensions have been lifted. So I'm just curious to ask y'all, like, what suspensions were on the books already, and like how, like, what's been your personal, obviously we talked to Connor about personal experience with these rules, but like how have these rules like impacted the rest of the group kind of personally?
So I ended up, out of this group of people you have with you right now, I ended up being the only person to have their license taken away, because I worked a event on Native American land in McAlester, Oklahoma, back in October of 2023. And we were told by the promoter that it was on Native American ground. As long as we had our license, there was really nothing that the commission could say or do to us. And, you know, I think we had this conversation about Oklahoma already on the last podcast that we did together, talking about how on Native territory in Oklahoma, you can't have a commission. You can't have state-ran entities there, you know, trying to govern Native land.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening was everything was fine. The commission didn't like really get into it with them. None of us got suspension letters, and you know, everything was fine up until 2 weeks ago. Honestly, not even 2 weeks ago. It was literally the same day that the Nyla Rose stuff came out, I think. And what happened was Richard Bedford, the promoter for NCWO that ran the show that I'm mentioning, was trying to run another show on April 6th. However, take the commission to court because they were trying once again to tell him that he wasn't on tribal land. And so he took them to court and he fucking beat them, which is the only person in history, 25 years now, the Oklahoma, the only person that has had the balls to take them to court, and he beat them easily. So I don't understand this like bully mentality that the commission has over everybody. Everybody is too scared to do anything about it or doesn't have the resources or the money. And now we do. And now all of a sudden there's every excuse in the fucking book that they can come up with to not, you know, support the cause. It's always something about OSAC does this for us, or OSAC did this for me one time X amount of years ago. It's never an actual like they're never actually servicing. But anyways, they got beat in court. Richard was allowed to run his April 6th event with no commission. They didn't like that. So they went back to the October show, got the entire roster from what they claimed as, you know, illegal at the time, because Richard wasn't taking them to court specifically for that venue. But now they were being petty since they lost, and they suspended the entire roster from the October show, not the April show that they lost. But then the last person to receive a letter in the mail was someone that only worked on the April show. And he was the only person from the April show that got a letter. So then that was kind of the convincing that we needed to be like, oh, they're just doing this for shits and giggles. Like, they don't actually care. This is just them, you know, being cute because they can. And I'll admit it. I shared their email and phone numbers, you know, north of 100 times on X. I'm not going to act like I didn't, you know, give that information out, because I wanted them to regret the decisions they had made, not only for suspending, you know, like, I want to say 40% of the state at that point. They had no right to do it, and they were just upset, and they couldn't take an L, and they ended up doing that stuff. And once all this got national media attention because of the Nyla Rose situation happening the same day as the suspensions, you know, it's two wars on the same front at that point. You done pissed off the LGBTQ community, and now you just pissed off the natives. You're going to lose. Like, that's literally all Oklahoma is. It's Native Americans and gay people, and then, like, closeted white races. So, like, I promise you, the two minorities are going to beat the one, like, majority. And what's beautiful about that is that, like, it gained national attention, and they were called and emailed and all this other stuff so much, including the promoters in Oklahoma sending them personal handwritten letters, you know, just stating how wrong everything is and that it's going to cause a lot of issues. They lifted our suspension. But before they lifted our suspensions, we had a hearing for July 10th, which is their quarterly or whatever it is, meeting that they have, sort of similar to the one they had back in, I think it was the January minutes or April minutes. That you
it's
were
the January minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So now they were going to have their next meeting, which would have been in July. Once they got all that bad press, they were like, okay, we'll make it May 6th. And then, you know, they let another 24, 48 hours go by. And they were like, we're going to get fucking cooked. So let's just lift all the suspensions of every wrestler that was going to be there for the hearing to be mandatory. And then if everybody's suspensions are lifted, there doesn't need to be a hearing. Fucking brain blast. What a smart maneuver from them. I, like, honestly, they're playing chess with me at this point, because I didn't see that shit coming. But honestly, when they canceled this, like, when they lifted the suspensions, that's the first thing that popped into my head. I was like, you guys are funny, you're comedians, little jokesters. So that led me to have a conversation with Richard, because Richard is he's going to be representing the Native American side of this fight. He has the legal representation, and thankfully that legal representative is willing to back the LGBT community as well, because they're a real one. Richard also told me they're doing it pro bono. So as soon as I get the clear, I'm going to let her name fly to everybody on X, because she is such a goat, and everybody should, not only should, you know, Richard be known, not only should Nyla be known, you know, me, whoever, Connor, not all of us should be known and praised for the push that we're getting here in OSAC, but the lady that actually dismantles them by the law should get a statue right in front of the goddamn Paycom Arena in Oklahoma City, because this is going to be some of the most influential stuff for the community here. We are, like, it's insane. Oklahoma in general, we're called the modern frontier, and we're still not letting people wrestle trans wrestlers or women or inanimate objects for that fucking matter. I can't wrestle a broom. I'm fully capable of wrestling a broom. Wrestle a broom. I'll drop an elbow on a broom right now, like Ric Flair's coat on TNA, dude. Don't tell me shit. I guarantee you I could sell 40 fucking tickets to that. So I am just I'm fired up. I hate it. I just don't get it. Like, the suspensions didn't make sense. Moving the hearing didn't make sense. Having a hearing in the first place didn't make sense. Having these rules in the first place doesn't make sense. Why aren't we voting on these situations? Why aren't the voting times made public? Why are we only finding out that there was a vote among people April, 3 months, like in April, 3 months after the fact, reading the fucking minute sheet? That's racketeering. That's racketeering at its fucking finest. Like core racketeering, dude.
Mm. I want to talk to Frankie and Giganto also about this, but I will say the part in the rule about not being able to wrestle inanimate objects just tripped me a little bit too, because that just means like Yoshihiko wouldn't be able to wrestle in GC in Oklahoma, right?
Not Yoshihiko.
man, I want to wrestle Yoshihiko so bad.
I'm putting my hair out of mouth, dude.
What's the point?
We're like, I can't wrestle Chiton. Fuck.
Right?
Can't wrestle the vegetable man.
If there was a big gay brunch in Oklahoma City, I couldn't wrestle Baby Bop, and that's bullshit.
Oh, boo.
Agree. Agree. Hard agree. So, Giganto, Frankie, I want to talk to y'all about like how these rules have like personally affected y'all as well. You know, I let's go to Giganto first on that. I'm just curious if there's any experience that you had where these like really like impacted you.
I wouldn't say impacted me specifically, but I impacted some of the shows that were going to take place. Especially I was at Body Progression Wrestling. There was a talent named Luke Richmond. He was one of the suspended talent. He even had to do like, we even had to like write an angle for him to say that, you know, he can't wrestle because he's suspended or something like that. Like, you know, and that sucks because like, you know, he wanted to wrestle. I mean, he wanted to defend his heavyweight championship. And so, and it was always the subject matter in the locker room. People were talking about it. We were talking about, oh, how most of this talent, you know, it's like really good. And also, by the way, speaking of LGBTQ talent, shout out to Malik Mayfield. Shout out to Olivia Vargas.
Yeah, it worked, is what he told me. But Gigano, I did have a question about that, about the BPW show. Someone told me that Luke couldn't even get into the ring to cut his promo.
Yeah, no, he was like out in the crowd and he exited through the crowd. Yeah. And like I was doing my other character I'm trying to promote heavily, named Calf Daddy Oxley. So
I love the name. I love the name.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, it's all like me and Brandon Groom had a little like brawl and Luke Richmond like escaped through the crowd. That's our thing. That's what we did in a backstage segment, because doing the backstage segment's not commissioned. So you know, you can beat down somebody backstage without a license.
God.
Yeah, and but yeah, to me, it's all bullshit because like it. This is an event that happened in October, and they're bringing this up. They're bringing this up and suspending all of this talent once again that busted their asses to do whatever the fuck that they need to do after the show. And I even had a talent who was worried about wrestling in a Tahlequah show. You know, on native land, no commission license. He was worried because, you know, of the fact that it's on native land, and he was worried that commission might go after him. But as soon as suspicion got lifted before the show, he came to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it sucked. It really did. And, you know, hopefully we get this shit solved because we're all tired of it.
I can hear it in your voice. I can hear it in all y'all's voices that you're tired of this shit, honestly. Frankie, I'm going to go to you real quick as well. I'm just curious, you know, how this has personally impacted you.
So the timing of it all, I was nowhere near any of the shows that were in contention for it all, just because I wasn't in the October one. I haven't wrestled for NCWO yet. I'm still a pretty young talent as far as exposure and really places I've gone. But I also have just recently even started being able to like walk like how I normally do from a ankle fracture that I suffered a couple months ago. So I haven't even wrestled in the past couple months. So most of this is from a spectator's point of view, but you know, when I'm hearing everyone talking and getting all excited for this AEW show that's coming, and then out of nowhere, the AEW show's not coming because the commission's upset about a trans person trying to wrestle. Oh man, who could possibly want that other than the entire population?
But I think the punishment should have been only enforced because Nyla wrestled a local talent that wasn't from Oklahoma. That's the
local talent did job. How dare they?
Right. But nonetheless, so on top of hearing that news and at the exact same time hearing about all these friends and colleagues that are getting their licenses suspended for a show in the past that they lost a court date, you know, like they lost in court and all of a sudden they're still putting up a stink about all the people who wrestled on that show and they suspended people. And then they're like, AEW can't wrestle because that trans lady is going to wrestle. You know, it's like all of this news just suddenly came up and I'm just hearing it and I'm wondering like who the hell got suspended, who is not able to work, who, you know, is AEW ever coming back to Oklahoma? You know, one of the largest promotions in the entire country can't wrestle in this state because of that dumb rule, that quote intergender rule, you know, which just to give a little bit of my opinion of that, I think is absolutely ridiculous. The intergender rule is not relevant to trans people because they need to put the right language in there to where it applies to them, first of all, out of just sheer respect for their humanity. But second of all, even if we're talking about that rule, you know, a trans man is not a woman. A trans woman is not a man, you know? So in that sense, when they're talking about men versus women in the ring, it's insulting. So, you know, so whenever I hear that stuff, that's one thing I always want to address when it comes to those rules. And then the only other thing they talk about is humans versus non-humans. So if you really want to have a discussion about that line in the dialogue, you know, neither one of those sound right, you know, but that one sounds even worse. I hope they're not referring to that when they sent that letter out to Connor. You know what I mean? Whenever I hear that insulting dialogue and they just expect us to understand for us to be dead silent and just take it, it bothers me because it's like in the same sense of how, you know, maybe someone had a friend that they met that was black back in like the 50s, right? And then maybe they wanted to go hang out and then all of a sudden some guy's trying to make an excuse to why their black friend can't walk in, you know, and they have to make all these little words and dialogues to sound professional. But what they really are is they don't want to acknowledge that person's humanity and they don't want to include them in their spaces. It's the same with trans wrestlers like Nyla, like trans people like Connor who want to be a wrestler. Like, you know, all these wrestlers that wrestled on native land, you know, maybe they don't want to be involved with the commission because of, you know, weird shit like that, you know? Maybe that's what it is. But nonetheless, when I saw all this out here, I was just worried for all my wrestlers who this is like a huge form of income for them. Maybe it's the most income they get. They're losing money. I'll be real. I've been in quite a financial bind after spending some time in New York. And wrestling kind of opened a few doors to maybe make a little extra revenue. Every now and then, like a few bucks I make off a show helps get my gas sometimes for the week. And I wasn't able to do that for the past few months because of the ankle fracture. And I damn sure wouldn't have been able to do it if they suspended me. You know? Mm. It's ridiculous that they're affecting people. And they barely do shit. I don't even remember really ultimately how helpful they are. Because one, I've only done my license maybe once or twice, right? But two, there's not really much they do other than tell us what we can and can't do. And what they tell us what we can and can't do, they need to update the rules because it's not some of the points they make aren't relevant, you know? But that's
because half the time if you try to quiz a commissioner on anything, they couldn't tell you. Like they like I bet right now if we did a show that had a commissioner and he had to come out and you asked him what size a regulation ring had to be in Oklahoma, that right. dude would probably have a stroke trying to.
we'd watch a man die that day. But
is because yeah. none of them are involved in wrestling in any sort of capacity whatsoever. They right. weren't even like
right.
No, they don't wrestling works.
Right.
So they're going to make sense if the whole basis of the like entity itself doesn't make sense. We have people that are governing something that they have absolutely no fucking clue about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another thing that bothers me. I think if you're going to have anyone involved with wrestling, at least at that deep where they're out here litigating and, you know, giving the rules, one, we should have much more say in those rules. They should be taking input from us or promoters, you know, or they themselves need to get involved way more than they are. You know, I'm not a big fan of authority figures who don't know a damn thing about the people that they're regulating giving us regulations, especially if those regulations are transphobic, you know, sexist, you know, and especially ridiculous on top of that. You know, not like those two first things I mentioned are ridiculous, but they're especially so.
Like, damn it, I can't give Yoshigi a Zangief pile driver. Damn
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Why?
That's right. Yeah.
In neighboring states that have commissions, like everybody's always like, oh man, brother, you don't want to know about Louisiana's commission. I was like, at least they could like outline and define what the fuck a pile driver is in the commission rules so they can tell your ass not to do it. Because right. the pile driver's banned in Louisiana, and at least right. they can tell what the fuck it is.
Right. So just one last major point I want to bring. I just want to highlight just a few people in my life that are affected by all this business that may not have been affected directly by the license suspensions, but in some way may have been affected by, say, the Nyla Rose situation. You know, I could talk forever and ever about Connor. I love that guy. But aside from him, I have another friend, a trans man, who was looking to train. He was very excited about the idea of becoming a wrestler. And I think his aspirations pretty much died on the spot whenever, you know, the Connor situation came through, because we heard, that Connor was basically just not allowed to wrestle men, despite being a trans man. And this other trans man was like, well, then I guess I can't wrestle then. And I haven't seen him since. I haven't seen him in the ring since. I see him every other day. It's not like I just deleted him from my life. It's like, well, you can't wrestle, bub. Well, goodbye.
I would hope not.
Yes. Right. But anyhow, I think watching the light kind of die like that is ridiculous. And it makes no sense. I'll wrestle anyone that comes up in front of me. I don't care. Man, woman, trans man, trans woman, non-binary individual, somewhere in between that spectrum of genders. It doesn't matter who it is, because that's the joy of wrestling. Anyone can be anything if they choose. I could be a damn horse in the ring if I wanted to be. But I bet you some random regulatory body in Oklahoma would be like, hey, you're not allowed to wrestle Logan Knight tonight. Sorry, y'all better find a horse, you know? Like,
here's another fun rule that made me think about you wanting to be a horse. I don't know why, but there's also rules saying that the women can't wear makeup and that anybody that has long hair, including the men, has to wear their hair up in a bun like this when they wrestle. Why aren't those things enforced, but other things are?
It's
because they sexualize women, guys.
It's very much that. Yeah, it's very much that. But aside from that, with the trans men that I mentioned and Connor's situation, I just think it's ridiculous that, you know, women can't even wrestle men. There's not that many women wrestling in Oklahoma, and they all have to cycle between each other. They want to work. They want to wrestle the dudes. And I promise you, a lot of the women I've seen could kick my ass. So let them kick my ass, dude. Really, I just want to speak up for anyone I can. You know, I personally do not, you know, I get fired up from any sort of prejudice that's brought in my direction, right, based on my identity as a Black man. But I'm a very straight-passing individual in public scenarios. I can see my status in some people's eyes change. It depends on the situation. You know, some people are really blind to it. Logan, I see you shaking your head. Some situations I'll see people's interactions with me change just a little bit because I open up about like my sexual orientation or my partner being a non-binary individual. And once they hear that, it's like the status for some reason changes, you know? And say, for example, you know, maybe they, for like, I just don't like this weird prejudice that's just being thrown on people simply because of what they are, or what they express themselves as. I just want it to all go away. If I'm going to talk for a million years to make it go away, I will. I love talking. Logan knows.
We be talking. First of all, yappers.
Yeah. I'm yapping.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
But that's really the most I can add to it. So I'm going to let someone else provide their input if they want to. Any other questions you got for me, I'll keep answering. I got plenty to talk about on this subject.
Awesome. Yeah. I do want to go back to Connor real quick here too, because I know obviously like there's been a lot of anxiety around discussing your situation publicly and that sort of thing. But, you know, I just want to give you the floor. Like I'm just curious to hear more about your thoughts around this and everything like that. I don't know.
It feels so good to finally talk about it. Number one, like this is going to be like the biggest weight off my chest and like long overdue, but yeah, I started coming around the business around 2021 and experienced interest in straight entering into 2022. And all three of these people that are in here with me are people that I've been in training rings with before. And it's something I really busted my ass for, something that I worked really, really hard for. I never missed training for like almost 2 years of just nonstop training. I went to shows. I used to do backstage corresponding, which that was super fun. I've interviewed Logan before, and you know, it's stuff that I really, really missed. And this stuff happening like really is the reason why I left. I never really gave an explanation why I stopped coming to shows, but all of this killed my dreams. It absolutely killed the light in my eyes about everything. I didn't want to come to shows anymore. I didn't want to participate. I didn't even want to go just to watch. I didn't even want to be there as a fan for my friends. And it's, you know, enough is enough. Like I miss this more than anything. And getting that email whenever, because I knew something was up, because they were delaying me getting my license for a good bit. Everybody had gotten theirs, but I hadn't gotten mine. And it's all because my doctor put in my blood work that I was a transgender male. And I've been out for a very long time. I've been out since like 2018, 2019. Started hormones 4 years ago. So like my issue is, you know, you want to look at me and say, let's put this dude in the women's division? That doesn't make any sense to me. And didn't make any sense to anybody else that I was in locker rooms with.
Do you remember why it makes sense to me? Because I didn't know. Drake was explaining it to the class. I was like, wait, why can't Connor wrestle the dudes? Is he too much of a twink? And they go, Logan.
Oh God!
No twinks allowed.
It's affirming. Thank you.
I was like, oh man, dude, I can powerbomb Connor like so good, like so good.
Anybody can look at me.
Come on, commission.
Mysterious. Vibes.
Oh dude. Yeah, no, I miss it. As soon as I got that email, I worked for maybe 6 months after that. I went to training on and off after that, and I started having some issues with a lot of people whenever that was going on. And I don't care. I'll name drop this one because I don't think he's really around anymore with stuff. I don't know. I don't keep up with him. He has me blocked on everything. Oh yeah. Fucking Chris Allred. What the fuck? This dude pitched this shitty story to me, which I don't even remember it that much because it was just that dumb. But he wanted to do this storyline where it ended up me having to wrestle a bunch of transphobes and homophobes.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, that's how I, yeah, okay, that's so
that,
how
that,
I,
that was his like gimmick. He like did that with like black guys too. He was like, I want you guys to wrestle like a white supremacist group. Yeah, it was,
Jesus Christ.
It was like, yeah, it was like Ben Russo, like a bowl of like crack and then like did a line. Yes. And that's how he booked.
Yeah, it was terrible. Like he was like, we're gonna get like your friends together to like fake, not like fake showing support, but it would be like forced to like say something. And he was we're gonna like, have you
booking where it's like we're gonna make this like oddball zany character the face of the story, but we're gonna also at the same time promote the like awareness of shitty ass horrible like entities that can like fight these people. Like, what, I understand the idea of being like, oh, a black guy AKK, that's badass, but like bro, what?
it was bad. And he, at first I didn't know what to say because I thought he was joking, because I was like, this is so like fucking weird. Like, I'm gonna fight a transphobe at the end. Like, number one, how I get killed during a match. No.
I wanna know who he thought was gonna take the other end of that gimmick, like who he thought was gonna be the transphobe. Because it was all exactly. Oklahoma guys at that point. It was like Oklahoma and Arkansas guys at that point.
Yeah.
That shit.
No, nobody's gonna do that. And I told him like, well, let me think about it. And then I messaged him back being like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about? And I blocked him on everything, and everything went silent for a bit. And I guess somebody had brought it up on like a Facebook comment. This dude became a keyboard warrior onto Facebook and posted the screenshots of the conversation. He's like, I'm not a bigot, I'm not a transphobe, but proceeds to call me she and a female like the entire post.
I didn't do telling on himself.
Yeah, yes, I didn't do nothing to her. Yes, Logan. Yes, he said exactly that. I've never done anything to her. And I was like, baffled. And I was at work whenever I saw this. So I'm like standing in the corner of my job, like mass texting people. I'm texting Logan being like, what the fuck do I do? Like, this dude just fucking he also posted screenshots of like my address, like publicly. So I'm like, great, now all these crazy ass people he's friends with are gonna come to my house. But that is what ultimately led to me leaving. Like, it was that day I posted something saying there's a lot going on, I just can't work and I should be back. And I have never been back to a single show since. That was Joel, no, it was like August or September of 2022. I've not been back. And and I think about it all the time because I miss it. There's so much I haven't done and there's so much that I really want to do. So I'm hoping that something because, dude, I have some dream matches I need to like get in order and there's so much I want to do. Some tag teams I had like up in line. Like I had a lot of stuff like ready to go and Drake Gallows was ready to put me in front of a crowd. And then that shit happened. And then everything just left. And a bunch of people tried getting me back. Like Skylar and Nathan Estrada from Core were like, no, please keep working. Like come to our shows. Like, and Oscar with Majestic as well. He was like, please show up to ours. Like it was, yes, I know. So many people were like, please keep working. But this is the first like wrestling thing that I've like done in years. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm like rising from the dead right now. Like I'm back and I hope to be back. I would love to start training again. I would love to start doing stuff again because leaving and pretending as if none of that ever happened was the most soul crushing thing ever. And Frankie, you saying that about your friend broke my heart that they looked at my situation and said, well, I can't, and then didn't. Like, that should not be what pro wrestling is all about. It, like, people should be able to look at that and say, I can do that, I want to do that, and they should be able to show up and do as such. And it is disgusting that that is the world that we are living in right now. Like, I hope that this shit changes so I can meet that person that you're talking about. And
it's, well, you might have met him. You remember Newt?
Oh, shit!
Okay. Newt, yeah, it's him. Yeah.
No way!
Newt fucking...
And I could be, Newt I could still be paraphrasing right? What Newt said. Newt still comes to training, but you don't see him in the ring wrestling, and you don't really see any aspirations to get a license. You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense, because when I started coming back to training and helping you and Drake lead the classes and stuff, I was like, why doesn't Newt, like, bump with us?
You haven't seen him train since maybe the first time you saw him train, and that's why. Yeah, it's Newt, by the way.
I'm going to say this to just make this request even more ridiculous. If Connor and Newt want to put me through a table via 3D, let them, Oklahoma. Let them.
Giganto really wants to get killed by these guys. It's crazy.
I mean, you know, pro wrestling really hasn't seen a all trans masked tag team. So
true. And that's the dream. Like
trans femme tag team right now actually just happened at the last big gay brunch. It was Edith and then Jamie Senegal. They fucking killed that.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I have so many aspirations, so I'm hoping that as uncomfortable as these conversations are and as difficult as they are, like it is a step closer to hopefully changing these old bigots' minds. So that's all I really have to say on it is I'm just glad to finally speak up about how I really feel about everything that's been going on. It's been needing to be said.
No, I'm glad that we could provide an avenue for you to speak on that too. Like that's really the whole purpose of why this show exists, honestly, is to provide a platform for people to get their voices out there. So, I guess as we start to like wind down towards the end here, like obviously the hearing is in July 10th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So what does this fight look like for y'all going forward towards that hearing and then possibly after? Like, what's the expectation?
We do have to get on the agenda for the July 10th meeting, which I am pretty sure Richard has already taken care of that because he plans on running a show legitimately 10 days after that meeting on July 20th. So if he plans on running that show, he's going to have to take the commission to court again, even though they already lost. However, it'll be July 10th. We got to get the intergender ruling and the transgender ruling discussed on the agenda and bring up, you know, valid points and arguments, not only from talent, promoters, and likely a legal body to represent us, which will be the same woman that's representing Richard in court for the native land situation. Currently, if the embodiment of people still want to make their voices heard and, you know, do the good old fight away from Oklahoma, you can still call and email them. I know everybody is personally not getting fucking word out before they're hung up on now. Nyla told everybody already that she had two people try and call, and before they could even say her full name, they were hung up on. So that's how I know for a fact they're pissed. However, a huge thing that helps is if you live in the state of Oklahoma, contact your local representative, because if your local state representative is on board in a legal case, and it's not just one state representative, you have multiple people in your state's House of Representatives saying, hey, this doesn't make any sense, this needs to get changed, and they're backing you, government entity, legal body, health department, athletic commission or not, I don't care what they are, they're gonna fucking lose. And I don't know much more besides that. I mean, none of us really do. And that's been the big thing about all of this is, like, we're just severely uneducated, and every state around us either doesn't have a commission or they have a commission that doesn't suck complete taint. And I just wish there was someone within a local vicinity that had the knowledge of taking down their commission. I know Arkansas had a commission, and the guy that took them down is actually a readily available person here in Oklahoma that won't give up any names of legal resources or help us, because Arkansas had a good boom of just backyarders starting up shows and bad products coming out. And he was like, oh, damn, I wish I never took the fight to the commission. And I just, God, I wish he would have understood that that existed before. That existed before the commission existed or not. There's going to be bad wrestling everywhere. There's going to be good wrestling everywhere. There's going to be mediocre wrestling everywhere. It is on the boys at the end of the day to police the scene around here. It is, we are responsible for the people that are trained. We're responsible for the people that have been trained either not enough or well enough to debut. I mean, we're responsible for finding out if boys are clean or not, honestly, because, like, if I just don't trust the blood work thing. I really don't at the end of the day. Like, we're just getting blood work that's current to the day of the result. Somebody can go and be a nasty motherfucker the next day. And trust me, in Oklahoma, I'm sure just like everywhere else, there's some nasty motherfuckers. I do not trust
crawling with crusty people.
There's some hand crusty. I will never shake.
There's so much wrong, man, and it needs to be changed, and we're uneducated on how to get it changed, because people that had a fraction of a knowledge of a law degree or a law power 25 years ago were able to get these rules regulated a sport and then buried under a state legislature. Fucking amazing work, by the way. Hats off to that guy. I'm his number one hater, but I gotta respect the hustle to, you know, just absolutely put down an entire community. That's fucking, like, great work. I hate it, but great work, dude, because you're making it so damn hard right now. I can't even stress it. Like I just want everybody to realize Oklahoma is not the problem. It's old white dudes that got into power 30 years ago that were impossible to fucking get rid of. Those are the people that are the problem. Once we get educated on how things even work in our own home, it'll be a lot better off. We just need help. Like, we're wanting to be a better wrestling scene. We're wanting to be progressive. I mean, even the state as a whole is wanting to be progressive, but we're limited by the chains that are put down on us by the people that were running the show beforehand. And this isn't even like, this isn't like me saying like all the kids need to rise up and like fight the man, but like, yeah, we got to rise up and fight the man, dog, because like, that's a fucking problem right now. And like a lot of people I think have just become complacent in the fact that like, they've lived this way for so long. So the idea of change happening seems too much of like a myth or like a fairy tale for it to actually be accomplished. And I just hope that we can rally not only like the wrestlers and promoters alike from all this attention that we're getting, but also I want everybody on the outside looking in to understand Oklahoma is great. There's great wrestlers coming out of Oklahoma. There's fantastic promotions here in Oklahoma. I mean, the biggest promotion in Oklahoma isn't even a company that takes home money. They donate every single show to children with cancer, and it's the biggest show in the entire state. And they should be getting all the fucking love on the planet, and they should be getting way more people through the door and way more like names, like indie caliber names, but they can't. They can't because of the commission, and there's so many we can'ts because of the commission. Oklahoma's great. The situation we're in is not, and we need help. And yep. I want everybody to just band together and do as best as we can do. That's like throwing fire into the dark, man. We're throwing shots into the wind. We're hoping something lands because like we won once, we can do it again.
And I want to throw this in terms of Oklahoma wrestling. There's like shows that get booked on the same day and they have their own crowd, and it's and the crowds are good, and we want, you know, other talent to come and join, you know. So we gotta fight this.
There are just to throw my own input in as well, there are so many faces I want to see be able to wrestle other faces that they're not allowed to wrestle. But ultimately what I'm looking for in my fight for all this is just change, you know. It's like I said, I'm coming from the perspective of a Black man who is aware of his roots, that's aware of the history that led to him even being right here talking to all these white people on camera, you know. And if people didn't fight for their right, and then eventually, of course, in retrospect, my own right now to be able to sit in public spaces, to be able to wrestle, you know, to white people, where would I be if I'm not fighting for women to be able to wrestle men as they choose, or trans men being able to wrestle cis men as they choose, or, you know, trans women being able to wrestle women as they choose? If I'm about my values, that's just the stuff I have to fight for. I'm obligated to at that point, because otherwise I'm a liar. I'm a damn hypocrite. Ain't nobody going to call Frank Ely a liar. So that is exactly what I'm here for, is to just provide some input, spread the message. I've learned over time, especially through pro wrestling, that I'm a good communicator, that I think I do have some sort of talent for it. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'm not going to say any sort of level to that. People can say whatever they want for it, but I want to use that for good in some way. And I didn't quite know, really. I felt like there was change that needed to be made, and pro wrestling, I think, is the way I want to make that change. And I didn't think it would be. I just kind of wanted to have some fun times in a suit or in a little outfit and throw people on their heads. But here I am talking about, you know, trans rights in pro wrestling, women's rights to wrestle intergender matches, especially when they just want to work. They just want to work. There's only like 8 women. They can't wrestle each other forever, you know? Say again,
that's
Logan.
What's messed up. I just want to professionally dunk people on their fucking head, man. And I'm sitting here having to get civil rights activists. Like, I shouldn't have to do.
Exactly. They're out here bringing the brother out of me, you know? I can feel like I got to hold my fist every time I'm on camera now. But I'm willing to do that, right? That's my fight, and I'm going to keep fighting. So here I am doing that.
No, it's a rather astute point, especially considering, you know, some of the people that say, like, well, it's just pro wrestling, right? Like, it, but the thing is, this thing, this cultural, like, gathering point, it disseminates out into other aspects of culture, out into other communities, out into other fields. Like, if people aren't made to feel like they belong in a pro wrestling space, they might not feel like they belong in any other space, you know? And getting down to, like, even just the language of how they talk about it, yes, it is extremely trans exclusionary, the language there. It's also very intersex exclusionary there. It's very exclusionary towards people with chromosomal disorders, right? Like, whenever you're breaking down these things, like, it's just so frustrating to see.
And that was my other thing was like, anytime I told people about the email, I would bring up the chromosomes thing, and they're like, what if somebody has a disorder? Like, what do they do? Great question.
Yeah.
The commission can't even answer that.
That's how you know the rules were written 25 years ago, is because they're written like they were, like, they read like they were written 25 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, am I reading something from, like, the fucking 30s? Like, what is going on?
Honestly, God, like, when they started including, like, listings and numbers for, like, where it was in their little, like, law stature book, I felt like I was reading something out of, like, the fucking Library of Alexandria. I was like, was this supposed to get burnt up in a fire? This
is, you should tell them to go get that book. They probably got to blow the dust off it.
No kidding. It's the Oklahoma Athletic Commission King James version.
Hey, say, what are you doing wrestling the broom, huh?
Well, Connor, I will give you the final word here today as we close out here. I'm just curious about how you see this fight going in the future.
I'm trying to stay as optimistic as I can. Like, I am not going to stop bullying these people until they fucking change it. Because this is, like, the dumbest shit that I've ever heard. Like, why are you still policing bodies? Like, this is so weird. Like, even if this hearing doesn't change anything in that aspect, I'm still going to be harassing them about it. I'm still going to be emailing them and calling them. And I'm not going to let them forget that I exist. And I'm sure a lot of us feel the same way. I'm so disappointed in myself for, like, backing down so long ago, and I am going to make sure I do things right this time, that I'm going to be here for anybody who's affected by this. Women should be able to wrestle men as well. That's a really dumb rule that shouldn't be in place. It's a very silly rule. So I just want to see everybody be able to participate the way that they want to again, everybody who's involved. So change is bound to happen, and change will happen. We just got to fight really hard for it, unfortunately, but we're going to be fighting the good fight.
Well said. And honestly, you know, all of us being part of the LGBTQ community, I think we're all very familiar with those kind of fights and the determination that backs them up. So,
unfortunately so,
but you know what, it's a point of strength that we have that some other people don't, and exactly. They don't understand how tenacious we can be.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree.
Well, y'all, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today and talk about this very, very pertinent issue. Honestly, I know I speak for myself and a number of other people out there that we have y'all's backs as this continues to go forward. And, you know, I hopefully I'll be talking to y'all in July with some damn good news.
Hopefully. You
know, yeah.
Fingers crossed.
I'll have lots of bitch about it if the news ain't good.
If you need, like, a name for the title of this podcast, you should call us the Oklahomos.
Ooh. I love it. Yeah.
Guys.
I'm in.
That branding mind, of Logan.
I love it. I love it.
Well, I
get along now.
I do want to give all of y'all a chance to get your socials out there for everybody here that's listening to the show as well. So, you know, we'll start with Logan. We're just going to go around the horn here real quick. Let everybody know where they can find y'all online.
Hey, shit, man. Y'all already know where to find me online. I'm the only motherfucker telling all y'all.
I mean, that was
Logan Knight Pro. It's at Loganite Pro. I'm talking my shit about the commission. I'm talking my shit about that fire promo I just dropped today. Everybody should go look at that. I'm going to go beat up an old man. And I did a really fancy TV style promo talking about how I'm going to beat that old man's ass. So everybody should check that out. But besides that, this is for the homies. So let my Connor, Caleb, yeah. Frank, y'all take light work for me. Take it over for me.
Okay. I guess I'll just go ahead and throw myself out there. I don't got that much social media. I'm still kind of getting my ass out there as far as social media goes. I actually took a long, multiple years hiatus just for some info towards you, Connor, due to some personal issues I also had with my orientation and then also other aspects of my identity. Anyways, now that I am back on social media, the only platforms I really care about at the moment are Facebook and Instagram. So if you feel like following me, I'll be wrestling again soon. I've healed from my ankle injury for the most part. So you'll see content. It's the fabulous Frankie Lee on Instagram. And I'm just Frankie Lee on Facebook. You'll see a photo of me somehow. Feel free to follow me there. I'm not taking friend requests. Don't friend me. So that's me.
My usernames aren't for the people who are dyslexic. Sorry about that. My username is fucking terrible on everything. You can follow me on Instagram at KONNVAUGHNN444. It is terrible. I'm sorry. And you can also follow my Facebook, which is Connor Vaughn. I probably won't accept it if I don't know you, but it's out there. that's the only social media I have.
And I have an Instagram, a Giganto Sacrifice 999. And I have Caleb Oxley Facebook. And I have Giganto Higanto Facebook. Follow both of those too. And I have GPithecus 918, which I haven't been a long time on Twitter, but I might take advantage of that. But follow me anyways. Thank you.
Thank you to all of y'all again. This was so much fun, so informative, and just, I don't know. I love the sense of community I get from these kind of conversations as well. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
My thanks once again to Logan, Giganto, Frankie, and Connor for taking the time to come on the show. Obviously, this is a fight that's going to be continuing up to the July 10th hearing and beyond. And I know that the greater pro wrestling community, based off of how they voiced their opinions last week, whenever the news first broke around this whole situation with AEW and the commission, how they voice their opinions, that I'd say the majority of the pro wrestling population is solidly behind them in this fight. And, you know, I'm very curious to see how this will all turn out. Of course, we on the show are definitely supporting this fight as well. We want to get as much trans exclusionary stuff out of the pro wrestling space as we can. And, you know, for sure, we definitely want to see anyone who wants to, you know, experience the art of pro wrestling, or, you know, the community that pro wrestling has and can build for people, be able to experience it. We want to be able to see people express themselves, as Frankie put it wonderfully, like, express themselves in the way they want to express themselves. And understand that pro wrestling can be anything that you want it to be. You know, it just rings true. It just rings true. So, you know, we'll be keeping on top of this situation as it continues to unfold here. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to have, you know, this crew back on later on in the year, and we can talk about a victory. So, but yeah, but for for now, that's all for this week. Before we go, though, do want to shout out our Patreon, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Of course, you can go over there and join the roster of lovelies and have your name called out and accounted for on every episode of this show, you know, alongside names like Val Capone, Alex E., Zach Walker, and Jerry Legend. At the $5 tier, you unlock all of our monthly bonus shows. We just released our show for March. I know it's the middle of April. I'm sorry. But we have our episode up looking at Chris Colt and Ron Dupree, the California's Hell's Angels, taking on J.J. Dillon and Arnold Scollin, alongside Todd Haynes' very queer ode to glam rock, Velvet Goldmine. That's up on the Patreon now. I can safely say that we have our choice for April. I teased a 3-month sort of thing for April, May, and June. And let's just say we're going to be taking a little bit of a journey in and around and towards 6394 for the next 3 months on required reading. So if you want to hear all those episodes, $5 tier, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Obviously, I understand not everyone can support financially, and I totally understand that. I have been there in my life. At some points in my life, I am still there. So definitely spread the word about the show. Word of mouth always helps. Rate and reviewing on your podcast platform of choice always helps. Just tell your friends. Spread the word throughout your communities. Tell your queer wrestling friends that we have a podcast dedicated solely to us over here. So always thank you for all of that support that y'all have given over the years. That's gonna do it for us this week. Until next time, though, y'all stay messy, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted if at all possible. Same goes for monkeypox, and keep calling and emailing the Oklahoma State Athletic Commission. You're making them not have a good time right now, and we're all here for it. Bye. Everybody's ready to die. They didn't see it coming from the top of the bridge. She made a deal with the demon so a lover could live. But the moon is high and the devil is driving stick. It's the formula 666.